the Indian reservation, there to the civic center, had a meeting. We had a minister's meeting. It had to do with the great thing of the catching up. And I was supposed to go to a wedding of my grandson. But I didn't go. I didn't feel that I was to go. David Paul went, the others went. Tony, Brother Tony from out of New Iberia, had come up here, wired what we call the Father's house. I told you that it had to do with the light coming into the Father's house. The Father's house being the many-membered body. We spoke of the Olive Branch, Mississippi meeting, the minister's meeting at the amphitheater, and the meeting there in Olive Branch under the tent. We spoke of what it had to do with, and then the meeting down in New Iberia. So then when Tony come up here, he did that. It indicated that at last, the body of Christ was going to receive light. The many members of the body of the Lord Jesus was going to receive light. Now you say, Brother Pike, what in the world are you talking about? Where do you get these things? Where do you read this? I'm just telling the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. The word of the Lord still today comes to the man that God uses. And so then looking at it, there it was. Tony had come up here. Abnormal for him to do that. Tony would never have done that. But he came up. He did it. He wired the house. Done an excellent job. The light went into the house, which indicated at last the body of Christ was to come into the light. I told Tony some things. And Tony's loyalty was so staunch and so unprecedented that Tony would not even allow himself to think on the things that I had told him as to any difference as to what he had in mind to do according to the instructions that he had been given by his leader. He wouldn't even consider it. I told him, I said, Tony, though you be ever so loyal, though I know how you feel, I said, it has nothing to do with it. I know in your mind what you're going to do, what you want to do, what you think to do. And Tony later told me it was exactly that way. That's exactly what he wanted. That's what he did. I said, but Tony, you can't help it anymore. I said, the thing that come into your heart and what your life has to do with, I said, there is nothing that you can do about it. I said, when you return to Louisiana, it will automatically do it as to what Christ wants done out of your life of its own self. It will do it. And you won't be able to do anything about it. Whereas Tony went back, and Tony has stood in tears in the last day or two, having returned to Little Bethlehem, and said, Brother Pike, it happened exactly the way that you said. Said, I'd done those things. I went back. I tried to be loyal. Said, these things occurred in my heart. And he said, it happened exactly the way you said. I had no control over it. And the repercussions that I told him would come and the way that they would come, it happened to a T. And Tony said, Brother Pike, when I left Little Bethlehem a few days ago, he said, I had no thoughts in mind of ever returning to Little Bethlehem. Said, I had done my work. I went back to New Iberia, Louisiana. I went back down there to be as I had always been for years. He said, and this thing happened, and he couldn't explain it. He said, and I'm back at Little Bethlehem, and I've come back to Little Bethlehem to stay. And he said, I don't understand exactly what happened. He said, but it's happened. And he said, if you'd have told me a couple of days ago I'd have done this, I'd have thought you was crazy. But the revelation of the Son of God said it had to be that way. When we spoke of the revelation of the Son of God concerning my brother Charles being taken up out of the ground over in the Memphis graveyard, having been there for many years, I said, they'll take him up out of the ground. They'll move him over here. They'll move him in the cemetery right out here. I said, wait and see. As the things, the days begin to pass, the months, seemed like there was nothing to what I said. And then all of a sudden something arose about moving Charles. Something arose in the family to move Charles, and when they inquired about it, they told him, said, "You definitely cannot move him. He's been there for X amount of years. When he died with a Bright's disease," and said, "According to the health rulings and whatever, you cannot take him up and move him." Somebody come and tell me about it or contacted me. I said, "I don't care about the health ruling. I don't care about the disease. I don't care how many years it's been. I said, God said he'll be taken up and moved and put in this graveyard, and he will be put there, and he's there today." They took him up. Finally, something come up, and the health department changed their mind and said, for some unknown reason, I don't know what it was, they allowed him to be moved. He's over there. See, so I said that to say this, the word of the Lord comes to you. The word of the Lord. See, and when Tony came back here, Tony took the little children and he wired that house. The others withdrew. He had a terrible time trying to get some of the older men to help him. And I said, Tony, don't be discouraged, because the revelation shows it has to do with the Jordan, with the Joshua, New Covenant, the crossing, and the little children have to be the ones. And so it was. I said, the elders, it's at this point, it shows them dying in the wilderness. The mumbling, the grumbling against the ministry and against everything that we're trying to do and finding fault. And I said, just leave it be. Don't worry about it. So Tony, out of a clear blue sky, as we say, all of a sudden he winds up over in Clark County, went across the Appalachian. Some of these things you don't know about. Some of these things, some of you know about. Went across the Appalachian River. Remember, that's where the dove is down in Florida. The Appalachian River over here going to Winder. There's also an Appalachian crossing. David had moved across the Appalachian River, moved over to a certain place. We spoke of it and what it had to do with. And David coming back, and we'd baptized numbers of times in the Appalachian River, had to break ice a lot of times to get into the river, or at times. And you remember when I was baptizing and the Lord spoke to me, and I took all of my people out into that river, and we walked all the way across that river in the water to the other side. I remember that. Was nobody left standing up there except, well, as to pertaining to us, Brother Richard the Jew. He was up on the hillside looking at us. And we spoke of what it had to do with. See, and so then Tony, he went over that river. He went into Clark County, and he went over to Captain D's or somewhere to get some lunch or something for the children. He had promised to get the children something to eat. And he took the little folks over there with him, which was very allegoric for them that can see spiritual things. And he took them over there. And when he got over there, of all people for him to meet, he met my grandson, Tony. And my grandson, Tony, don't even live in the area. At that time, it would just have been absurd as to think that that could happen. Be one chance in a million, as we say. The chances might be less. But he met him. And Tony gave Tony an offering. And Tony gave back to Tony the offering for a wedding present. And there they met this Tony that was to get married, which he did while we were over in the Cherokee area. He got married, and he married at a place called the New Covenant. The New Covenant. God brought one Tony all the way out of New Iberia, put the light in what you call the Father's house, took the little children, went across the Appalachian River, took them over to that place, met Tony that was to be married at the place called the New Covenant, brought all these things around in a sequence to bring to pass these things concerning the moving of the Spirit. And so then Tony returned with his little ones, went back to New Iberia, couldn't stay, comes back up here, and I had told the brethren of what would take place, and concerning the leadership as to what Tony was under. I had went through it very explicitly as from the time that Tony left his home, went under this leadership, being under it for 6 years, and how corrupt it was and how evil and wretched it was, and that it was a prison that had imprisoned this man. And his loyalty was so great that he was blinded to the extent that he could not see it. And how that this would come about as pertaining to Tony and then the other individual would be cast out, driven out, and it would have to do with the fall of Lucifer. Some of you don't even know what I'm saying. It's foolishness to the natural man. But the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. And so then, it happened just that way. It happened that way. Much, much, much that we could say about it. But it happened that way. And that's what the telephone call was about. And the point was brought sharp and clear. And the casting out came about. And the individual was told exactly concerning the corruption, what it was, how that it had been there. And the individual was completely cut off, just exactly like we said it would happen. So in all of this, with the catching up to the throne, Revelation 12, the man-child caught up to the throne, ruling with a rod of iron, on the very day that David, with another little David, a brother Carter, on the very day that they went up into the plain, as to the middle of the week, as Wednesday, as to the catching up, as to the reference to Revelation 12, at the very time that they went up, early in the morning, before David could take off, Tony had driven all night long. God had prepared his heart, and he had driven all night long to come to little Bethlehem and met David over in the early, early morning, about the break of day. And of course, we could say a lot about that as to the dimensional act of God. But anyway, this happened. See, Tony came up. The connection was made. The light went into the Father's house. Revelation 12, when the man-child is caught up, now has come power. Now has come power. The electrical friction. Tony being an electrician. He took the man's name off of the van. He just did it of his own accord. The casting out. The man-child. The rod of iron. The mind that Tony received, tears in his eyes again and again today, standing, crying, saying, my eyes was closed, I couldn't see. And now I see so clear, he said, in these things and what has taken place. See the birth of the man-child, even to the extent of Stan going over to the Walton Inn, as we say, no place in the inn, and him being from Marysville, and them expecting a newcomer at this time, and Brother Jim, the church, as to his name, Kirk, and whatever, the connection being with them, and Stan's car catching on fire, all of that having to do with the birth, the travail, the change, all these things. And as last night, when Tony and a number of the brethren, along with David Paul, sat over at the Walton Inn, when the tears filled their eyes, and the anointing was so great and mighty and so inspirational, as they sat there over in the night, the change taking place and the birth coming in, the many members. And so it was that when they had their wedding, David Paul was picked to light the candles, which was about 100 candles, according to what I understand. He was picked to light them. When he lit the candles, as far as I know, he lit them with a lighter he had brought out of New Iberia, out of Louisiana. You know what we said about the purchase possession? And what it had to do with the Louisiana Purchase, the time of Napoleon. And he lit him with this light that had come from down there. When we baptized, you remember the girls that went into the water. And I said one had to do with the crow and one had to do with the raven. The one that had to do with the raven went out. You remember how the girl went out? And how wicked she'd done and the things that she said? And remember the other girl, how she had never been here, but going out from that tent meeting, having been in the cycle of God, or the circle of God, she came right back here. And now she's wanting to move up here. See, out of Houston, Texas. See, the same thing is to the application today. Yesterday it was. Brother Ackley cut a window up in the third story of the multipurpose building, there where the doors are to be cut. He cut a window. How many remember when I spoke of that building having to do with the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and these buildings being built for that purpose? And I spoke of that building having to do with the Ark of Noah, and the water began to flood, even flooded the building, all down in the building, in the lower part, all around. How do you remember that? And about that time, there came in through the gates of little Bethlehem down here a great big bus that was made like an ark. At the very time I was expounding it to them in the water, the thing was happening about the water. They looked, and through the gate come something that said Noah's Ark in big letters on it. And of course the people were shocked because we'd never seen that fellow before. I ain't never seen him since. But see, it happened that way. And then when Atlee yesterday cut the little window, how do you remember I spoke recently, just a few days past, of the catching up of the man child at this time, what it had to do with the opening of that window as to the dove going out. Tony knows what I'm saying because I spoke to him about the little dove. Remember the little dove, Tony, and what happened about it? See, going out at this time, the flowers this year and all these kind of things, and the watering from underneath. Brother Scotty knows about this because I talked to him about the water from underneath the ground as it was before the flood. See, watering from within. Many things that we've said and could say, but this little window was cut. It was in the third story. It had great significance. It is today, the first day, that I've ever known my mother-in-law to come up in that building. Now, I was looking out that little window at it, and I thought, now she has to do with this. And she was busy on her back porch with watering flowers or something. And the next thing I know, Dale had her, and here she was up there in that third story. She'd come up, and she's way over 80 years old. And then the next thing I know, she'd climbed the ladder and went up into the pyramid. And then she came back down, and I said, Dale, you better let her rest a little bit. And Dale said, you think you ought to rest? And she said, no. And I thought, well, you better let Dale rest a little bit then. Because Dale had done gone up and down, Dodd. I could tell it was affecting her. But anyway, this happened today. All right? You know the recordings, and we could go on and go on, and I'm going to try to just condense a few things to kind of let you understand what I'm trying to say. David lit the candles. What was those candles? It was at the New Covenant. What is the lighting of the candles? It's the membership of the candle power of God coming together. In the new covenant, it's the membership, the light in the Father's house. The Bible said that the spirit of man on the inside is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And he said in Revelation, he said, if you don't do thus and thus and repent, and I'll move your candlestick. That is, I'll take life out of you. You won't have any more life. If you follow me, it can be an eternal light. They've got what they call the eternal flame. And then my Dale, my daughter, the mother of Tony, lit a candle called the Union Candle, which indicated the headship. Now, how in the world that Tony got connected with David and got connected with the Union Candle, that's just something that's hard to understand. But the thing worked itself all around until the connection was made with Tony. And then, of course, those things that come off of the van. And Tony surrendered up the title. All these things have great significance. We won't go into it. But see, the Union Candle had to do with the headship. That when the man child is caught up, which has to do with Tony, and has to do with David, and these things in their symbolic sense right now, having to do with the Father, the Son, all of these things that's happening. See, when the Union Candle came as to the headship, then the members as to the candles, as to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, automatically comes together. That's what it has to do with these ministers' meetings that we've been having. And David Paul has already asked me if he could have a ministers' meeting. He wants to have a big ministers' meeting. But see, it has to do with the unionizing under the new covenant. That is to say, as to the natural perspective of it, the Gentiles' days being over. Which, it would take a lot to go into these things, but you remember Jimmy Carter and Mr. Reagan's coming together? You remember Mr. Reagan's and the man of Russia, Gorbachev, coming together? And you remember how that the Pope turned to the Jews and said, now they are our elderly brother. And they come together. And you remember how the Arabs and how the Jews came together. We predicted that that would happen. The Old Testament speaks of it. How that they would come together. And all of a sudden, here they are. All of them has come together. See, right at this very time of the catching up of the man-child. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean the catching up of the man-child? I mean that there is three different dimensions of life and three things that bear witness to life. And it would take days and weeks of teaching, and a lot of this is on tape to where you could get some of it and study it. But anyway, catching up is denoted as to a sovereignty of a mind or a life. There's three minds that we teach on. And I'll try to condense these things. Three minds is the mind of man and the mind of God and the mind of Lucifer. There are three minds, but there's not three bodies. There's only one human being, and that's you and I. So then all three minds have to use the same brain. A mind is a spirit. It's a life. It's a sovereignty. My spirit is angelic. It is a life. It's a mind. It's a spirit. It tabernacles in this little house of clay. And Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, saying God has shown me shortly, I must put off this, my tabernacle. When the spirit departs from the body, the spirit from the tabernacle, then the tabernacle is lifeless. It's dead. I had to say those things just to get around to a few things here to be able to explain it. The catching up. See, Satan will use your brain. And he will use it in a dream. There's three kind of dreams that come from those three minds. One of those dreams is called a filthy dreamer. That is the mind of Satan. He illuminates you with filth. He infiltrates your body. He uses your brain. He brings dirty, ugly, gullible thoughts. The love of the world. He's the prince of this world. He loves the world. The Bible says the love of the world is in you. The love of the Father isn't there. And all of these degraded things as to passions, as to frolics, as to temper, as to murder, as to blasphemy. All of those things will come out of your heart if you let Satan use your brain. And then there's another dream that is called a dream from the multitude of business. And this is where a man's spirit, he gets so busy through the day. He hunts, he fishes, he buys, he sails, he works. And then when he lays down at night, all of it begins to come back to him and he dreams. Out of the multitude of business, his brain is used, his body is restless, his spirit begins to dream, as we say, using his brain. That same spirit uses a man. There's nothing wrong with this spirit. With the first spirit is to the infiltration. Satan using your brain, it'll take you to hell. It'll defile the body. God will destroy it because he cannot dwell in it. Light and darkness have no fellowship. With this particular spirit, as to your angelic being, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a spirit that brings you to necessity as to brush your teeth and wash your feet and to take a bath and to work and make a living and to love your wife and children and be normal through life as to everyday living. Christ gave it to you. There's nothing wrong with it. God wanted to interweave himself with that spirit and become one. He created the trees and all of the world for you and the fruit and the things that you go out together. And he wanted to live in your spirit and that spirit in him be one in your body so that you could live eternally and have heavenly things and earthly things forever and eternally. So there's nothing wrong, but Lucifer got in there first. And he's got that spirit of man. And unless you're regenerated, unless you're born again to get him out and let God's spirit come in there, then you're defiled. And while you're in ignorance, he can give an atonement. Once you come to the understanding and still don't get him out, there ain't no atonement for you. You're defiled forever and there's no cleansing of the temple. Whereas the Bible said, the unclean spirit, when it's gone out of a man, it wandereth through dry places, seeking rest and can't find it. And it says, I will go back to the place that I left. When it comes back, it finds it sanctified, it finds it clean. He can't go in. He goes and gets seven other spirits more dirty and wretched than himself. He forces his way into the temple, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. As Jesus said concerning Mary, that she had seven devils. As legion and there in the tomb, legions of devils. But anyway, to get on with our thought, the third spirit, that third spirit is God's spirit that uses your brain, that wants to interweave itself with your spirit. And it's holy, godly, pure. Everything that it talks about, thinks about, is the will of the Heavenly Father. It is peace, joy, righteousness, no fears and frustration and anxieties as it is with Lucifer's spirit. So then if that spirit gets your body, you live eternally. Your body is preserved forever. Otherwise, you're gone. And I said all of that to say this, that when the man child is caught up, we say caught up from where? From one mind to another. One mind to another. Lucifer is the prince of darkness. He is that which is abased. He's with the creeping things. He's supposed to be in the lower part of the earth, as we say. But the Bible said the serpent, even Lucifer, has climbed up into the upper lintel. That is, by grace, he's gotten up here in the presence of God between man and between God. He's gotten into a human body and lives within the realm of grace by the atoning blood of Jesus that's on Calvary. And he's made himself on the altar. He's made himself a second heaven. That's a second heaven, but it's a lying vanity. It's a second heaven. That's one that Jesus broke through, but that's what you're in. That's where you're blinded. That's where the woman was. Revelation 12, when she gave birth to the child, there is where the red dragon was. The red dragon and Adam all die. Lucifer, through Eve, through Adam, living in the bloodstream. The wicked generation, John laying the axe to the root of the tree, cutting the whole generation down back to the tree of knowledge and bringing in the tree of life as to that which you belong to. That is to say, when you speak of the red dragon, the blood life. I say again to you, the blood life, the old red dragon, the generation of vipers in the second heaven, John, Revelation 12, saw this in the heavens. The woman in travail, the red dragon laying there ready to devour the man child as quick as it was born. And saw the birth and the woman going into the wilderness, which of course pertains to the body or pertains to the Jews. And we won't go into those things, it's on tape. But anyway, here, that blood life waiting to devour the spiritual child, to take control of him, to make him some worldly celebrity or put him in the ball game, or something out in the world to kill out that spiritual Christ on the inside him, the red dragon. But the Bible said that the blood suddenly come off of the seat of atonement. Or that is, it said the child was born, was caught up to the heaven, the woman went away into the wilderness, and the red dragon was cast out, which is this period right now. He's showing it right now. Revelation 10 and 7, the mistress finished. At the sounding of the last trump, Revelation 11, 15, and the last trump sounded, and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ. And so then Lucifer was cast out into the earth. The child went up to the throne. What does that denote here? It denotes that you that are in the second realm, in the mystic world of the second heaven, of the lying vanities. All is vanity, Solomon said. All is vanity and vexation of the spirit. So you that are in that realm, you've already come into a second world. You've come into a second world. The church is in that realm. They're caught in between. They've come out of Egypt. They've not got to Canaan. And they're caught in the wilderness wandering of their intellectual minds. So they're in that second realm. And we don't have time to go into this. A lot of it's on tape. We can understand it. But in this realm, they're in that second realm. And Lucifer is also in that second heaven. John saw this dragon in heaven. And when that child was born, the child went up to another place. Paul went up to the third heaven. Calvary between heaven and earth. It ended that second heaven to the extent that someday when people comprehend what's done, it'll be done away with. That is to say, Paul immediately, as the man-child, went up to the third heaven, and that third heaven is another mind. It is another mind. It is God's mind. It is Christ's mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So then in this third heaven, you're in the second mind. You have come out of the mind of garlic and onions as to Egypt, as to necessity, as to brushing the teeth, combing the hair. And you started toward the mind of God. And you've got caught in the mind of Satan, which is a spiritual mind that is like the mind of God. And so then you've got in between. You've left your way of life as to the planting and the plowing, and you've started it toward another great world, as to say in the natural, as a world of electronics. But you've got caught in the mechanical part of the world, the old wilderness of the mechanics of life. So then this is where you're at. You're in the wilderness, see? And God has made a way for the man-child to be caught up. And I've said this before, when the astronaut went up, broke through the spheres, he broke through the spheres for the first time. Shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep, a door open in heaven, Revelation, over in the book of Revelation, Revelation 4. And then Peter opening a door. Calvary, the rent veil. The shepherd, a door open in heaven, hanging on Calvary between heaven and earth. See, that was a type of it right there. The age is just right for it. And then through that door went Armstrong. And the man that had the dream where he walked on the moon. The man child caught up. Because he didn't walk on the moon when he went up that time. As to the first thing, when he was a little child, God took him into the spirit. And he had this dream, and in this dream he walked on the moon. Being a child, caught up to the throne, as we say. Well, anyway, a lot we could say about that. But the thing I'm trying to say is this, that with the catching up to the third mind, this is the third rim of education, as the world would say. It is the third mind. When you came into the mind of scientific reasoning, your whole world changed. Your whole environment changed. Your health, your human physics changed. Better health, vitamins, medicines. Your world around you has become a great, wonderful world of modern facilities and automobiles and conveniences and luxuries and whatever. See, the natural, everything is in heaven, so in the earth as a type. See, but this is the spiritual thing. This is the real thing. This is reality. And so then at this time, there's a people. As to the lighting of the candles, as to the membership, as to light in the Father's house, there is a lighting up. There is a revelational bind. There is an unveiling. The mind of Christ is beginning to break forth in the church, in the membership, in the children. And at this time, the woman that brought salvation, that is to say, the woman, the Jews, salvation of the Jews, she goes into a wilderness. Because they rise up against her, try to build the temple, they drive her back, 7 years of tribulation. She goes back, the child goes up to the throne, the 144,000 on Mount Zion, where Betty and I stood over there, to show the catching up, the child, which is the spiritual being on the inside of you, the real true Christian, goes into the third mind, into the third dimension. See, because the catching up with us as the spiritual Jew was when we were born again. Our inner being went up to the throne of God, which throne has been placed within us, the kingdom of heaven within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the body laid aside which was your human body, considered dead by Calvary, gone into the wilderness, over the Jordan, laying in the water, that is buried until the time that God calls it out. It's the spiritual perspective. It'll take a lot to go into the three dimensions. And it gets real complicated because the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I'm a steward of mysteries. I understand perfectly what he did, perfectly what it is. The three dimensions, it's beautiful, it's lovely. But to bring it all out, it would take a long time. Paul preached all night long and just got a little bit of it over to him. So I said that to say this, that the catching up of the man-child, the catching up of the true inter-spiritual you to the throne of God, which is the mind of Christ, means that you are a subject for another world. And just as one bird is made for one height and another bird for another height, and just as one people lived in that world back there as it was with the Jews, Calvary came and they went out of the mind and presence of God, then came the Gentiles, and just as they live in this physical world of human blood and the red dragon, out they go at this time, and another people comes in, and another dimension comes in, and another power comes in. And that is the third dimension, the third world, as to the transformating of the mind, as to the change into the great heavenlies. And of course, there's much, much, much we'd have to say about that. You could write volumes of books. So then this is where we're at. See, I had to say all of that, just get around to try to explain what I'm saying. See, this is the hour. When I spoke about my uncle's son dying, my cousin up here, Pete, worth $30 million, come up from a paintbrush, growing all the time. That didn't just happen, folks. He was only a type of the baby farm that we got here and the spiritual nursery that we got here. And because of Uncle's son, dad, the three brothers, and what their pattern was in life, he had to do that and become fabulously rich to show the power of what's taking place. You say, in what way, Brother Pike? The papers not too long ago published the article that he is the greatest independent nursery in the world. So this had to grow. That had to bring it about. When Uncle Son died the other night, I just told Bill, I said, Bill, you know what sunshine is? You know what sunlight is? You know what the light of God is? The light as to grace to the Gentile church. I said, I know, you know, this might sound far-fetched. I said, but my dad, Uncle Bud, Uncle Son, Pete, all these things. I said, Uncle Son has to do with this. And I said, Uncle Son is going to die. And I said, when Uncle Son dies, I said, it will indicate that the light, the sunlight of day as to the grace to the Gentile world will be over. I said it'll have to do with the man-child being caught up to the throne. And folks, Tony come up. And apparently on the very night, or right in there within a night or two, and I think it was the very night that Tony come up, Uncle Son died, he went out. Because when the child goes to the throne, the blood comes off of the seat of atonement. There is no more light, there's no more grace to the world. That's the end of it. It goes out. It goes out. The inspiration of Pete was Uncle Son. Though he hath many nurseries, though he hath much money, yet his heart is gone, buried. You understand what I'm saying? Well, we could say a lot. Peter, the keys to the kingdom, the first pope, this Roman thing that has just happened, linking up with the Jews, why all of a sudden, as to the casting out, and then the personification, and all of a sudden the Pope of Rome finds such favor as with all of these religious people as to what we said. And folks, hundreds and thousands of things that we could say and go on. I'm talking about thousands of things that we could say concerning the mystery of Christ. For great is the mystery. To go on and on. But I just said this. I said that the Lord let me say this. Because what I said to you at the beginning caused you to be sorrowful. And a very pensive sort of attitude. That caused God to bring this around to where I could talk to you these things. Because of your past loyalty. God being loving and kind and considerate. But I'm telling you. With these things happening and many other things that I could say to you, like Tony, as quick as the wedding was over, right up to the Cherokees he came. And we spoke much about it and what it had to do with it. But saying these things to you, this is a very, very phenomenal moment. This is an outstanding thing. That's why Tony is so astounded. Tony is sitting over there tonight so astounded he don't know what to do about him being up here. How did all this come about? His whole life, 6 years, wouldn't budge. And all of a sudden, overnight, he makes a decision and comes up here and cuts off everything. And it's so astounding to him, he don't even hardly know what to think. And it's just as astounding to me. And it's just as astounding to you. Why isn't it astounding? When he was up here before, you couldn't even say nothing to him. Some of you tried. See, and he comes up and says it for himself. Nobody don't have to tell him nothing. See the birth, the eyes opening. And on we could go, folks. And I know these things are scattered because it takes so much to detail this. And I know that it, you know, I understand if you don't understand. But I still love you. God loves you. But you can think a little and understand a little and put a few things together as to say, well, my God, something's happened to that man. He's had a brainstorm or he's got something somewhere because they don't teach that in college. So something had to happen. Just on the basis of that, you know something is taking place. All right, I want you to stand with me. Forgive me for keeping you so long. I didn't intend to do that. I tell you, folks, at this time, it's supposed to start breaking to the membership. And if you'll just try a little, hunger and thirst a little, ask for the spirit of revelation, now's the great moment. If you'll move into this, and I'll tell you something. Jesus said, if you ever drink of this water, you won't never thirst no more. You won't look for another well. This is a deep, deep well, and it's got good water. Like the angel said to my brother, said, there's one thing at Bethlehem that you have. Said, you've got a good well. And so then, there's a good well of water. And if you'll drink of this water, just give God a chance to talk with you. He'll bring some beautiful things. The Bible said, those that walked along the way to Emmaus, Jesus appeared in their midst. And they said, did not our hearts burn with us, within us, as he talked to us by the way? This thing will make your heart burn like fire on the inside. And all of these things that you would like to know, I only spoke of bits and pieces. But if you get into this, God will put it all together like a puzzle. Sister Betty, she's always putting puzzles together. You know, and she'll work days to put a puzzle together. She always does it. I don't put puzzles together. But you can put this puzzle together. God will bring you the pieces. And he'll put it together and he'll bring something to your mind. You'll say, oh my God, that fits in with what Brother Pike said. That fits in with what that brother said and that sister said. And you'll just dance. You'll jump up and down on the inside if you don't do it on the outside. A lot of times I do it on the outside. Sometimes I jump up and down outside and inside. I'm jumping both ways. I don't do it much before you, but I still do it. So then you'll put these things together and you'll be so happy and you'll be so glad. You'll be so thankful because your heart will burn like fire. If you'll do it, you'll have a wonderful time, folks. It's wonderful to serve the Lord. And not only that, but this world that's coming in, this dimension, these things, it means you'll have eternal life. You'll live forever. You won't die. You're coming to the place now that they're not even going to put you in a casket. They won't even put you in the ground. They won't even be able to throw dirt over you. The one that comes into this mind that God's bringing forth now, it means the end of death, the conquering of death, all will be over. Like the song that we sing, time for Jesus to come, up from the tomb we'll arise. He'll catch us away on his wings of healing, far beyond the lofty blue sky. So then, at this point, even the songs called the songs of the lambs, as in the natural, the songs that I've written, has to do with the spiritual songs of the lamb, which is these revelations that's coming forth as from the mind of God. All running side by side, as in the natural, so in the spiritual. As in heaven, so on earth. So, you'll have eternal riches, eternal life, eternal youth, eternal strength. That's like a brother. I just got a word today from a brother. A brother, he's here tonight. I understand he made the statement, said that he saw us in a dream. Said, I saw Brother Pike in a dream. And he turned into a real young man. Whereas there's been a number of dreams where we turned into a real young man. So I said, well, Pastor Pat, you can't tell it by looking at you. I know that. That's our secret, like Superman, you know. Anyway, I'm just saying this, folks. You might not know it. If I wasn't spiritual, I wouldn't know it. And some of you do know it. And since I'm spiritual, I do know it. That there is a man on the inside of you. He is eternally youthful. He is eternally wealthy. He is eternally strong. He hath been eternally crowned. There's no such thing as him dying. It's not possible. He's already passed from death into life. And you renew your strength and youth in the Lord. But what I'm saying is, not just the inner man. We're moving into the generation, coming into the realms now, to where your outside body won't die. All of a sudden, the youth will come back to your outside body. Folks, ain't nothing to be young again, to turn yourself back into youth. That ain't nothing. There's a whole lot of things I'd like to talk to you about. Concerning death, death ain't nothing. All of our lives, the Bible said, we were subject to bondage by fear of death before we came to know Him. But have you ever stopped to think that in Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive? You ever stopped to think about that? So there's a whole lot of things that we could talk about. Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. So then you need to think these things on and over. And many things that we've not shared with you, I'd like to share with you. But not being spiritual, I haven't. But if you got spiritual, God may share them with us. You can't ever tell. So then I'm talking about not going in the grave. Behold, I show you a mystery. I'm a steward of the mysteries, Paul said. Great, great mystery. But I'm a steward of the mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. What kind of mystery? Paul said, we're not all going to sleep. Not all going to sleep. Lazarus sleeps. I go to awake him. Some of you understand what I'm saying. Some of you don't.